For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined by Paul Smith, co-host with Dermot Gavin of the gardening podcast Dirt. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, is this the time of year for cuttings?
It is, yeah. Late summer is the time to take cuttings of things that you might be slightly worried about not making the whole time over winter. So the likes of salvias, you can look at catmint if you want to. Loads of plants, great time of year to take some late summer cuttings because that growth is just mature and ready to grow, really wants to grow this time of the year.
Now, can you take cuttings even from elderly kind of plants? You know, plants that have been there for 20 years and that's supposed to be their life. But there's still a little bit there.
Yeah, you can and you can't. Plants that are older, they tend to lose their vigor and they tend to lose that ability to root very fast. So the best type of cutting you can take is off a relatively young plant. Saying that, most of us have older plants or we have old gardens that we want to take material from. You know, if your friend or parents or whatever, you want to take material from their garden. The best thing you can do in that case is prune the plant the year before. So if you want a plant now that you want a cutting of, give it a bit of a hard prune now, and the new growth that comes up next year will be perfect. The younger, the newer the growth, the more likely it is to root. And this is a perfect time to take the likes of a semi-ripe cutting. So they can be taken off of things like lavender, box, yew, fuchsias, and of course the hydrangeas, the one that everyone loves. So perfect time to look at doing that.
So get the new what is the technique?
Very simple. So just with your secateurs, take off a length, about the length of a pencil. One thing you don't want on the material is flower. The most important thing is to make sure there's no flower. So if there is a flower on the end of it, take the flower away, leave it about the length of a pencil, maybe a little bit shorter, cut right above a bud and right below a bud. So that's the key when you're doing this. If you can always think of the leaf buds on the kind of stem, take right below and right above and stick it into a pot. You can, if you want to, cover that pot over with like a Ziploc bag or something like that, but just keep it in a warm place. And that's as easy as it is. You can use things like rooting powder, but I don't particularly think that they're much use at all.
What is rooting powder?
It's basically rooting hormone. So you buy it in the garden centres. It comes in a powder form. It's hormones to actually induce that plant to root. I mean, naturally, plants won't really root. They may layer themselves, which is when a branch falls onto the ground, it will then root. But cuttings are something that we've kind of adapted as gardeners. You know, it's a very man-made way of actually gardening. So a cutting needs a bit of a help sometimes, and the rooting powder can help. But the stuff that you buy very often is just basically talcum powder with a very small amount of hormone in it. The professionals do use stuff with a bit stronger. But I would say, if in doubt, you know, people use honey, you can use different things as well, but you can just do it without it. And 9 times out of 10, it will be as successful.
Some of the questions coming in. Do we have to extract tulip bulbs for the winter? That's from Lucas.
Yeah, tulips are a funny one. So tulips have been bred for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, everyone knows about tulips in Amsterdam and Holland. And because they have been bred for so long, we've actually overbred them. And tulips coming back regularly is not something that happens. So they've basically been bred so much now that they flower for 1 year, they die, and the chances of them coming back is actually quite slim, particularly in our, as we know this summer, you know, it's slightly damp, slightly, you know, colder, and we just don't have the climate for them to come back. So the answer is you can dig them up after they finish flowering and dry them out and replant them in the autumn, but they really have to be treated like annuals. And if you want guaranteed tulips, replant them every year, or buy ones that are perennial, which are the species tulips, the kind of wilder cousins. Not as showy, but they will come back reliably year on year.
Now, talk to me about deadheading, because it's one of the jobs that I'm delegated to do in the garden. And I do all the roses and all that. That's fairly straightforward stuff. But does every plant, every flower respond to deadheading?
Yes, is the answer. But you may not need to do it or want to do it every plant. I mean, think of, you know, deadheading is basically taking away the seed. every flower wants to reproduce, every plant wants to reproduce, and it does so by putting out a flower, which will then ultimately turn into seed. By taking away those rose flowers, you're stopping them producing rose hips, which will eventually seed, and you're putting all the energy that would go into the seed back into the plant. So in the cases of roses, it's an absolutely brilliant idea. In the cases of some grasses and things like that, some later flowering perennials, the likes of Echinacea and the coneflowers, Rudbeckias, you're probably better not, because you want those seeds. Number one, they look good over winter. And number two, the wildlife need them. So it's important to do, but it's not something that you have to do to every single plant. And always when you're deadheading, cut to something. Don't just cut into the middle of nowhere. Cut to something. And by that, I mean cut to a leaf. Cut to something that makes it look like you've done it intentionally rather than just hacking the plant.
Okay, now more questions coming in. My Portuguese laurel, which is in a sorry state with some kind of disease, has been getting progressively worse since 2021. It's really struggling this season and nobody can tell me what's wrong. As you'll be aware, it's a very expensive hedge which I depend on for privacy, and I'm terrified that I'll lose it if we have a hard winter. Is there any possibility you can identify what might be ailing it?
Hard to say without seeing it. They are susceptible to a few different problems. And of course, the year that's just been, fungal issues are ripe because it's been so damp and so kind of inviting for things like that. What we always say, you know, a plant looks a bit unwell, first thing to do is make sure it's well fed, well weeded underneath, don't have any weeds at the bottom of it. General purpose feeds, the like of chicken pellet manure, is great because it's full of nitrogen. A hedge needs nitrogen. Nitrogen is a thing that makes plants green. Potash and potassium is great for flowers and fruit. But if you want a good green hedge, lots of nitrogen is what you need. It sounds like it's probably suffering from a disease, but without seeing it, it's hard to know. But I would just make sure you give it lots of feed and occasionally water, believe it or not. Actually, now it's a little bit dry in the ground because we haven't had a huge amount of rain in August, which is hard to imagine, but we haven't.
Now, this one, I'm away for a week next week. Any idea what I should do in terms of watering houseplants? I'm afraid I'm one of those people who kills everything. I don't have anyone I can ask to call around. I don't have anyone to do it for me. Is there anything I can do myself before I go to ensure they survive?
Yeah, a few things you can do. So the first thing I would do is group them all together, and group them together in kind of a corner of the house that doesn't get a lot of sun. So maybe if you have a north-facing corner of the kitchen or wherever that doesn't get a huge amount of direct sun, put them all together in there. If you can, put a little tray underneath them and put a little bit of water. We have to be careful not to overwater houseplants, but if you're going away for a period, it is no harm to put a little extra bit of water, because they'll get extra when you leave, and by the time you come home, they'll be dry. And that's probably all you can do. You can give them very good water before you go. There are things you can do with buckets of water and old towels to try and have a drip system or a kind of capillary mat system. But to be honest, group them together, keep them all in one place, out of direct sun, and they should be fine when you come back if you're only going for a week.
It's only a week. Old fruit-bearing fig tree, it's out of control. How should I...
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
Figs are one that you probably should prune in the winter. We have them in the garden here and they are just about to fruit. They don't fruit until September and they're lovely. The wasps always get the fruit though. But in terms of pruning, we do it in the winter time, generally around February. Takeaway that always the thing when you prune anything, dead, diseased, dying, damaged wood. Think of all the D's. Take all of that away first and then look at opening it up. When you prune fruit bushes particularly, they always say to think of like a goblet or a cup shape. Try to keep the outer branches there, but keep air in the center to allow airflow. And just prune out whatever is in the way. If it's a plant that's in the way, you're just going to have to cut the branches and let it grow up. It should be fine.
I pruned an apple tree fairly hard myself last year, and I got no blossoms, no fruit this year. Any reason why that would be?
Yeah, you basically pruned all the fruiting spurs away, Pat. So the best way to prune an apple tree is either do what you did and go very hard, and then for this summer that's just happened, you can prune off some of the really new growth. You'll probably notice there's lots of fresh growth, very little flower. So that new growth now, you want to prune that back to about half the size, and then that will actually induce the production of spurring, fruiting spurs, and that will be where the fruits will be produced from now on. So you're actually going to have fruit from next year onwards. So cut back to fresh growth and just maybe don't do it as hard. It's no harm to do hard pruning every now and again, but you don't want to do it too much, or you will just get loads of growth and no fruit.
Could I ask if it's too early to transplant calla lilies and pieris? I probably should wait until October, says Patricia, but it would be convenient to do it now.
Yeah, well, I have this old thing myself, and Dermot say it a lot. The plant hasn't read the book. And by that, I mean, just go out and do it. I was in the garden yesterday digging up peonies, which you should not be digging up at this time of the year. When I trained here, the old owner had me digging up peonies in the middle of June. You can do it whenever you want to, as long as you follow the basic rules of plenty of water, don't have them out in open sun, treat them well. You know, they're going to have to go into a bit of intensive care if you're digging them up at the wrong time. So just lots of water, keep them in a kind of shady spot and lots of attention. So there's no problem with doing it that bit earlier, as long as you're prepared to do the aftercare, basically.
Can you ask Paul about my laurel hedge dying off in patches with yellow leaves and brown spots?
Ooh, a bit like the Portuguese laurel.
Yeah.
It could be, now I don't want to say this because it's a bit of a death penalty, but if there's honey fungus in the area, of which there seems to be an awful lot popping up in this year, that can be the reason why patches of your hedge may die out. And the problem with that is if you try to replant it with laurel, it probably won't grow. If it's only patches, there could be something underneath. You wouldn't know what the builders, possibly if it's a relatively new build, had underneath that hedge. So that could be a lot to do with it. Again, lack of soil means lack of water and lack of food. I would go back to my old thing of plenty of chicken pellets. Don't overly prune it. That's a good thing. If a plant is looking sick, don't prune it. If it's a hedge that's not looking very well, try and reduce the amount of pruning on this year and just see how it goes, I suppose.
I have my little olive tree, says Aisling, for about 2 years, growing well, but only has produced one olive. Is that normal?
Yeah, unless you move far, far south.
okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, olive trees in Ireland, it's just, they look great. What they need is lots of sun. Actually, a friend of mine sent a photo to me a few weeks ago of an olive tree on a beautiful sunny day, and it was in a corner of the garden that had no sun. And they're saying, what's wrong with the olive tree? And I said, for God's sake, move it out into the sun. Olives come from, think of, you know, the Mediterranean, yeah, down Greece. They just get baked with sun, lots and lots of heat. And unless you're prepared to keep it in a conservatory or a glasshouse, you're not going to get huge amounts of olives from your olive tree, I'm afraid. But they look nice.
Another question. What will kill the weed Speedwell?
Lots of pulling it, I'm afraid. Speedwell is a very, very fast growing annual, an annual that produces multiple sets of seed in 1 year. So you're going to just have to keep pulling it out. There's no real other way of getting rid of it. The more you pull it, the less it has a chance to seed, and the kind of more you break the cycle. So that's how you get rid of an annual plant like that, breaking the cycle of it setting seed, not letting it flower. That's key of any weed. If you see a weed you don't want, if you let it flower and seed, you're going to have to deal with it again next year. So take it away before it seeds.
I have a real problem with whitefly on my cabbage plants in the polytunnel. Any solution?
Yeah, I've actually started using, now you can buy these products, but you can also make up your own solutions of garlic if you have a look up online of how to make them. But basically, garlic is something that they hate. It won't kill them. If you want to try maybe eradicate them in the first instance, using like fairy washing up liquid in a solution would help. But then using this garlic spray regularly, and obviously being garlic, you can eat it immediately after spraying it, works very well. It deters them. They hate the smell of it. It does stink a bit in the pot or wherever you keep it, but it works really well and it keeps the whitefly at bay. Okay. I've done it this year and it's worked really well.
My son got a present of a cactus plant. I've no clue how to look after it. My son and I would love some advice. That's from Bradley.
Okay. Well, the best thing to do there is not very much. As I said earlier, with the houseplants, keep them in the shade. But this is one you need to keep in full sun. Think of where they come from. Cactus come from the desert. They need lots of baking sun. You don't need to water them very regularly at all. I would say try and only water them maybe once every 2 weeks. But keep it in a nice sunny position. If it's in a very small pot, it might be worth repotting it. If you are going to repot it, go and try and buy a particular mix for cacti or succulents, because it will do far better in a mix like that than in just a rubbishy piece that you might buy from, general purpose in the garden centre. And just keep them in a nice sunny spot. And yeah, keep it well watered, but not over watered. You will kill it with too much water than too little
okay.
water.
Okay, a final question. Can you ask Paul, what should I do with an apple tree that now has the exit pipe blowing out fumes from a new boiler, the new boiler being lower than the previous boiler outlet?
Ah, That's an interesting problem. I have it here, and I actually grow a banana plant beside the boiler because bananas won't grow outside in Ireland. But when you have a boiler going on through the winter, it gives you early fruit. Oh, it doesn't give you early fruit. It gives you protection.
Okay, so take out the apple tree and put in a banana.
One possibility, or just prune away. It's going to actually kill it anyhow if it doesn't like it. I would either learn to live with it or take it out and put in a banana plant because you might use that to your advantage. That's the way to do it.
All right, Paul, thank you very much for answering all those questions. That's Paul Smith, co-host with Jeremy Gavin of the Gardening Podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.